I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Two of the city's earliest mayors, around whom the early history of Memphis was woven, in the words of one historian, had enduring public acknowledged relationships with black women. Marcus Winchester, the dashing aristocratic son of General James Winchester, a founder of the city, was elected mayor after Memphis's incorporation in 1826. Subsequently, he married a free, accomplished quadroon named Mary in Louisiana, where such unions were legal. Mary had been introduced to Marcus by a friend, Thomas H. Benton, who had brought Mary to Memphis and who subsequently abandoned her to pursue a long and successful political career out west, where he married a white woman more suitable to his aspirations. After leaving Mary in the care of Winchester, he became a U.S. senator from Missouri in 1820. Winchester, by contrast, was subjected to much reprobation for his decision to marry a woman of color, that he lost his public favor and set upon his path of drink and ultimate ruin. Before there were tragic mulattoes, it seemed, there were tragic white men who married them. Winchester's downfall led to his being replaced in 1829 by Isaac Rawlings, a rough-hewn fur trader who had long been Winchester's political rival. In contrast to the aristocratic Winchester, Rawlings lived openly with his slave housekeeper, Hannah, and had a son by her. However, he never married his housekeeper, and so remained palatable enough to the electorate to have a successful political career. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a Tuesday.
Doing some podcasts. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
the unofficial sport.
What about
a bullet ball extreme? And don't forget, we're gonna be at your local library. If you live in Charlotte, University City Regional Library on February the 8th, that is this Saturday,
mm-hmm.
just a few days away, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the story time room.
The story time.
That's right, little kiddies. We're going to be telling stories.
Yes, we are.
It is for, I believe, people that have to, you might have to be 18 and up to be in the room or whatever. Maybe it's 15 and up, but, there's a link that'll be in the show notes at the end. You can click on it. And it's a Black History Month festival. We're going to be there. We're going to be there for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about podcasting. We're going to talk about Black history and books.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some of our, We're gonna interview a librarian, our friend Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna take questions. Like, it's just gonna be so much stuff going. And we're gonna have stickers.
Yes, stickers.
Okay. And there's gonna be trivia. So there's gonna be a lot of good stuff, a lot of good reasons to be here, and we're gonna have fun from 2 to 4 PM in the Storytime Room at University City Regional Library. Speaking of Black history, the book that I got that excerpt from is Ida, A Sword Among Lions. Talking about some of the early history of I think it was Memphis, I believe, and it's by Paula J. Giddings, and yeah, so this is one of the reasons that you see so much of this negativity associated with black women as wives and romantic conquests and stuff, because it's ingrained, it's anti-blackness. It's literally a thing. It's not, you, like, you have to examine yourself and why you harbor these feelings about black women. How much of you have been programmed by that? How much of that needs to be undone and unworked, you know? Because I still would not stick any black man who believed in this shit on some black, unsuspecting black woman that had to deal with this trauma. But, this is white men that I'm talking about.
Right.
So back then, these white men, who America was built for them, right? They should have any rights to do anything they want to.
Yes.
But if a white man just so happened to truly fall in love with and marry a black woman, it fucked up his future prospects so bad that the idea of being mayor or an elected office, people were that racist. They were like, no, you have a black wife. Juxtapose that with another white man who came down and ran for office, who had a black woman that he was living with and a black son, but he never married her, and they were like, I'll vote for you because you understand they're not equal to us. That's the only thing they needed that man to understand in order to be an elected official is, hey, the danger here is insane that these people are equal to us. And we can't have that. So you can't have office unless you're willing to show that, hey, while I'll sleep with a black woman, I definitely would never do her the honor of marrying her. Marriage is reserved for white people to marry to white people and for blacks to marry to blacks.
And for a long time, we wasn't able to do that. That's why we jumped the broom.
Yeah, you know, and I think also that's why to this day you see a lot of people that really, maybe without thinking about it, still covet whiteness in that way. Mm-hmm. To, you know, cause I think one of the reasons that, you know, it's to keep this whiteness, this white womanhood above black womanhood. It's about protecting white women under white maleness. And so the worst possible thing you could do was to, marry someone who was not a white woman if you were white. Like, this is an honor, this is the only thing y'all get to do, and here you are throwing that away. No, I don't want to vote for you. I don't want you making decisions.
Right. And many years later, it was a white man that wanted to marry a black woman. It was like, hey, the fuck you gonna tell me what I is and ain't gonna do? And they end up saying, well, then since a white man wants to marry a black woman, I guess we'll pass laws to say that people can marry interracially.
Yeah.
But it took a white man going, you're not taking my goddamn rights away from me, before it even got pushed.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Loving versus Virginia, which is a landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that struck down laws banning interracial marriage as violations of the Equal Protection and Due Process clauses of the 14th Amendment. But only because the idea there was a white man should be able to do whatever they want to do.
Whatever.
So in 1967, it was like
that long ago.
It's not long ago at all. It's why people have a conflicting, like, they don't really celebrate. People try to have Loving Day because, like, look at this, interracial marriage, but it's like, it's hard to celebrate because it's really about a white man should not be told he can't do anything.
Come on!
And this is 1967, so this is in the middle of civil rights struggles and segregation and, you know, all of this type of stuff happening. And then you have basically someone say, well, okay, not for white men. I mean, they can do what they want. But yeah, nigger, get away from the counter.
Right, and it wasn't the other way around. A black man couldn't marry a white woman. Well, he could, right, but you increased the chances of you being harassed or possibly lynched.
Yeah, and you know, and so, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that people have such a high esteem around white womanness, right? Like, how many black men even talk about white women, and they're talking about white women the way you talk about, like, a car.
Right, you know, it's disrespectful. Yeah,
like, if I was a white woman, I would not want someone to fetishize me like that. But, you know, I'm not a white woman, so I can't speak for them. But, you know, to me, that wouldn't be ideal. That's not love when someone's just going, I'm with you because you're not a black woman, you're not this type of woman. And and then, like I said, it's just like achievement. I got a good job and a white woman, you know. I made it, mama, you know. So yeah, it's kind of interesting because it's like, well, those black men who do talk like that, where do they get this idea from that white women are, you know, better? And I think also it's because incentivized by society, right? Because what society is telling you is, we're not going to complicate your life if you marry a white woman, right? Like, the problems of race and slavery and misogyny and stuff are going to follow you all the live long day as long as you're with this black woman. So this white woman is just one more area of your life where it's no longer a problem. Now, we know that's bullshit, that's not true, but still, that is what society is telling you. Like, this is an achievement, this is the good job, you know, things like that. So
this is the quote-unquote reward.
Right, so I just thought that was interesting.
Right, and it's one of those things where black women, for some reason, aren't considered an award. You know, when it comes to us, we're not considered a goal, we're not considered something to covet, we're not considered something to love unconditionally. And not to get off topic, but that's when you get into the black feminism and white feminism, and how you have a lot of white women pushing and rejecting this thing of loving, being sexy and all that shit. They reject that. You know, they're like, no, because you've always been that. So to you, that's the standard. So you go, okay, I'm tired of this being covered. I want to be something else now. You know, and black women are like, and bitch, we've never been coveted and loved and wanted and felt sexy. So we're actually wanting your quote unquote bare minimum. And sometimes it becomes a problem because, you know, white women are like, no, don't call me this and don't say this and don't say that. And you have a lot of black women who are like, yes, I want to be ogled. I want to be wanted. You know, I want to be desired. I desire to dress sexy. And I am okay, you know, with the gaze of men looking upon me. Like I am fine and I am content, you know, with that. And sometimes I think it becomes a conflict because white women go, y'all should be over that shit. And we go like, bitch, we just got here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think it's just like, obviously, yes, the racial element, I agree. And I think also it's just the complexities of womanhood, because when you've been quote unquote property, when you've been, even for white women, it's been like, yeah, we want you, but we want you the way we want houses. It's not exactly equality that white women have gotten. So their rebellion has been like, no, we can get the property ourselves. We can get the job ourselves. We want the money ourselves. That's been their whole thing. Black women have been working in America from day one, mostly unpaid. Right. And so then when equality comes for black people, black men have an idea of equality is mirroring whiteness, in which the white male dominates the household,
right,
and therefore controls, you know, the black woman, the child, all this stuff, and expects the same, you know, worship that the white man gets in his home.
And shocked all hell when she's like, the fuck you think this is, nigga?
Well, the difference is black women been working the whole time,
right?
So there is no patriarchy you can offer, because even if you don't think it's smart or you just think it's really fucked up, white women who buy into patriarchy do benefit from proximity to white maleness.
Mm-hmm.
Patriarchy is about white maleness. Everybody that benefits from that essentially is saying, I expect white men's favor, right? Even when it's a Ben Carson dealing with Donald Trump, he expects a white man's favor to trickle down to him, right? Well, when it comes to black women, they're like, I already do the work. I already, you know, you're not providing for a household and I'm just sitting on my ass. You're not affording me people that come in and clean my house for me and all this. You're not doing that on the average. So I don't want to be told, in addition to your work, come home, cook and clean, raise the kids by yourself, right, all this stuff. But for black men, the dream of freedom was not one of the shared gender equality. It was one of, oh, white maleness. I'll have a job, you'll raise the babies, and we'll just have, you know, 2.5 kids in a picket fence and all this shit. And so I think that's where the disconnect will always be. And that's why all the women are white and all the blacks are men, because you really do have this, like, what's good for black people is what's good for black men. What's good for women is what's good for white women. And left out of the equation every time is black women, which is why you have black women that are like, yo, I have to create an entirely different category for my political beliefs, because
right,
nothing you guys have encapsulates what I fucking want out of life. I don't want these things.
Group I'm always left out, and that trickle down from that white man don't trickle down to us unless it's, oh, I'll fuck you, oh, you right, can have my kids.
Crossover don't never cross over to us,
right? Like, but as far as, you know, a lot of the white men desiring you, no. Mm-hmm. Historically, now, you know, not that can't happen, but historically, no, that has not happened.
Well, you know what's even worse, man, and the more you read about this shit, the, you know, the kind of worse it gets, but white men have always wanted black women sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not in a good way.
Because
when somebody is property and they don't have rights,
right,
you wanting them is not exactly a good proposition. It doesn't necessarily mean romance and woo and love and consent, right?
No.
But the biggest trick I feel like that's been pulled on America is this idea that black women are these unwanted, unattractive people. And white men, of course, just want white women and shit. And it's just like, Well, it's clearly not true. Our history says it's not true.
Right, all these light-skinned kids.
But because it's so volatile and dangerous to bring up, because it's so quote-unquote shameful, it's like this thing that just gets passed on, and it's become the lie that is the truth, right? Like, if you look at dating site statistics that show, like, black women get the least response from people, like, you see that people have bought into this. But it's not, now I'm not saying this is equal to respect, keep in mind, this is not me saying that this is the same as someone looking at you as a person that I respect and I want to marry or want to be in a serious relationship with or whatever, you know. Correct. I want to make you happy. I'm not saying it's that, but even the idea that physically people don't want black women is something that's permeated our society, and it doesn't make fucking sense.
Mm-mm.
Because it's clearly a huge part of the population of black people is only here because white men couldn't keep their hands off of black women.
Right.
So yeah, it's a doubly insulting thing. And then when you have historical texts like what I just read, where there's like saying, hey, this man only couldn't make it as a politician because he chose to marry a woman who was a quadroon, which is a fourth black. So one of her parents was like half black. So that, just that much blackness. They said, we don't want you to be a politician. We won't vote for you. This other man, full black woman in his house, full black baby, lived there and everything. And they said, well, we'll vote for him because he's smart enough not to marry a black woman. And that was okay with them. And that shit permeates our society to this very fucking day. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Things to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's see, what are we gonna talk about today? Tyler Perry's A Fall from Grace on Netflix had 26 million views in the first week.
That's a lot of
26
people.
Million people watched it. 26 million, and Netflix did confirm the number. And you know what, he had some words to say.
I know he did.
My heart is full, I'm grateful, I'm humbled by it. I've always wanted my movies to open around the world, and that was the first time, so thank you, Netflix. Thank you. I saw you all around the world watching it, so thank you. Here's the thing. By comparison, Netflix's 10-time Oscar-nominated The Irishman was only watched by 17 million in its first week last fall. The buzzy thriller starring Sandra Bullock, Bird Box, remember that?
I do. That was this everybody time last was, year, wasn't it?
Everybody was watching that, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Also watched by 26 million in its first week. More than 23 million accounts worldwide watched When They See Us, Ava DuVernay's limited series about the so-called Central Park Five, in the first month. So Tyler hitting them like that, huh?
7 days.
7 days.
Y'all talking, and they could say, before they could even push it and promote it, people were talking. That's how I even knew it existed. Either people loving it or hating it. Yeah, everybody, it had shit trending.
And y'all want more stuff like When They See Us, and y'all only 26 million in a month, huh? Interesting. This is what the wokes claim they want. Buy one of our faves, Ava DuVernay. And yet, Tyler came through.
And crushed the buildings.
It's almost as if, you know what? I'm just going to say it, guys. I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to bring it up again.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? 'Cause I told you. And when did I tell you? A long time ago. And what did I say will happen when I told you exactly what just happened?
Yeah, I would actually like to say, I told you niggas that all that hating was gonna help this man be number one. It's better than a million people watching it and telling somebody go watch it because I loved it. I didn't even see people telling people to watch it because it was good. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Not because it was good, no.
I seen people going, watch it because it's funny to watch it and we all clowning it.
Right.
Totally understand, because yeah, that's what I like to do.
Because most people, I mean, everybody knows it's not good.
I didn't see anybody saying that. What I saw was the power of hate and how much it helps this man make money. It's really insane to think about.
Re-advertisement. He ain't got to pay for it.
His best advertisers are people going around.
Yes, it is.
Holding their nose up, trying to blame the world on one man. He really wouldn't have the reach if motherfuckers would just leave him alone. So I gotta thank you, haters. It really is a pleasure to see this man be successful after you keep talking about you want him to win. Check the scoreboard, motherfucker. He's winning. He's up. Look behind you. He's about to pass you twice, okay? This motherfucker is killing everybody. And it's all off the strip of people can't resist hating this motherfucker. It's amazing. Can't resist it. You could have just said nothing, sat there, ate your rice, but you couldn't. You smelled the trash, you said, this stinks. And you went and got everyone in the house, smell this trash.
And it everybody stinks. Smelled it and went to go see it.
And now everybody like, oh, let me tell somebody, smell this trash. I love to see it. I love to see it. By any means necessary.
Mm-hmm. Like they said, you ain't made it until you got some real haters, huh?
Guess who the only person beating them?
Who?
Guess.
On Netflix? Beyonce.
Nope.
Hold on,
I just go ahead and say it.
Oh, go ahead.
He's a Jewish version of Tyler Perry.
Oh, Adam Sandler. That make motherfucking sense. That nigga got 45 movies out there.
His mystery movie got 30 million views. And if Adam Sandler is number one, then I don't see why Tyler Perry can't be number two. I mean, are we really trying to are we really about to do this? Anyway, congratulations to him. Y'all really made me a fan of this man. It's so sad, really. I was really on some like, it's not for me shit. You can go back and listen to every episode of this podcast from the old days when people were right in talking about
they were right in all the time.
And I'd be like, I don't actually care and I just don't watch his movies.
Right.
Y'all have turned me into a fan from your collective hate, because now I'd be like, cook their ass, Tyler. Get them numbers. Get them numbers. Make them mad.
Make them mad. It's hilarious to me.
Y'all determined to cancel this man, and he is just cooking, just making it.
Life finds a way.
Doesn't it? I love it.
Same here.
Honestly, man, I started thinking about all the people that's been canceled and everybody's least favorite and problematic, this, that, and other. All the people that people hate the most making all the money.
All the money.
I've really played this thing all wrong. all right, but good for Tyler. The Iowa caucus was last night, and the results, Karen, you know what they are?
I don't know. What are they? I didn't pay attention.
Technical problems have delayed the release of the results for the first time in the nation's contest, leaving campaigns and the public in the dark.
How did this happen?
They tried to use an app.
Use an app?
They tried to use an app.
They probably didn't pay the tech people enough to be
they
sure
paid $60,000 for this app.
That's a lot of motherfucking money for that bitch not to work right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find interesting about this is part of the reason they used the app is because people were saying the caucuses weren't accessible enough.
And that's agreed.
Right?
Right.
So they said, we'll go to an app. Okay? That way we'll get people to stop complaining. I guess somewhere along the lines, no one bothered to check to see if the shit actually worked.
Nobody did a test run, did they?
And so now we don't have results. I mean, it's been a shit show over there the whole time. The Iowa's like whatever their paper is that releases the results earlier before, not the poll, like they have a poll they do, and then they'll come out and be like, this is what happened, these are official results of our poll. They left Pete Buttigieg off the poll. So they had to throw out the results.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know what's happening.
It's like they didn't talk to nobody with any tech savvy sense that was that could have test. I mean, because I understand shit happens because you're dealing with technology. Please don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But $60,000 on a fucking app. Mm-hmm. Oh, bitch, hair's gonna roll. That's a lot of goddamn money for shit not to work right.
Steve Kornacki ain't pull out his poster board for this, sis. Okay, he did not loosen his tie for to be flummoxed like this.
Yeah, and I understand why, because yeah, it's probably in the middle of fucking nowhere. People are like, I'm not driving out there. I'm not going out there.
And it gives all the Bernie people something else to be like a conspiracy against Bernie.
Correct.
So you gotta deal with that shit. Mm-mm-mm. It's a damn shame. Christian Siriano says size inclusivity in fashion is not that hard, and a lot of brands just don't want to do it.
I agree.
And Christian Siriano is a dude that like dresses like all the plus size women in fashion, in like when why can't I think of her name? Leslie. When Leslie Jones couldn't get anyone to dress her, he did it. Like he's famous for it, actually. The people that are like, people don't want to dress my curves, and he's like, look, give me Ashley Graham and I'm gonna give me this extra like foot of fabric and watch me work.
Right. Cause the shit that's so fucked up is that for years, women that are heavier, and I know men run into this too, but women that are heavier, they wanted you to fucking look like your grandma's curtains or quilt. The fuck is this? I like bright and colorful shit too. I want to be sexy too. But they act like once you got up a certain size, you want to look like a fucking quilt.
Well, it's flowers and stuff like that normally. It's definitely harder. It's not the easiest job, and that's really because the process is longer. It's like you have to fit your clothes on multiple sizes before you can actually produce them, which a lot of brands just don't want to do because they don't want to take the time or the money and the resources. So yeah, that's it, but it's doable. We do it, and I have a small team, so it's not that hard.
I motherfucking agree, and guess what? Make it a killing.
He even revealed that he's flown plus size models to Europe to participate in his shows. He went on to explain to Graham that he decided to go all in on size inclusivity after being told certain women should not wear his gowns. They kept saying my clothes were for models. I was like, well, that's not true. You're annoying. So I was like, well, I'm going to show you that like these are my new models and they are like curvy and cool. Yep. He also made headlines in 2016 when he was the only designer willing to dress actress and comedian Leslie Jones for the premiere of Ghostbusters. He's also dressed countless other black stars, including Jennifer Hudson, Billy Porter, Uzo Aduba, which according to the Maryland native came naturally to him. Growing up in Baltimore City, where I was the minority because I went to school with mostly black kids, so it's just normal to me, he remembered. I don't know, it's like cultures collide and think that's what's kind of beautiful like about our world. And he also says, I think you have to be very, very optimistic and open-minded about every single thing, every project, what will lead to something else, because it didn't used to be that way. It used to be like, oh, you could never do this, but now it's not the case anymore. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing I always find interesting about this stuff is that, yes, everything's not gonna fit well on everybody. Mm-hmm. And even at a larger size, there's still like certain dimensions people have, like there's always something. But this idea that you just stop trying,
right? Stop attempting.
It seems like, even just from a capitalistic standpoint,
don't you want the money?
It just seemed like that like, yeah, you would want the money. You know, it can't be that much more expensive to make that dress. And I know already we charge more for bigger sizes.
Correct.
So it's not necessarily just about the money. Like, we're never going to make this money back. Like, unless there's something that goes into the process of making bigger clothes that is completely foreign to everything else they already do. Mm-mm. I just don't see why it's not possible.
It's just more time and more fabric.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to think about.
And measurements and shit like that. They just don't want to do the motherfucking work. And then you have Fenty coming out here and like, oh, I'm making it for the bigger women. And
you mean Savage?
Savage, Fenty. Yeah. Savage/Fenty.
Yeah, Fenty is the makeup, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Savage. Yeah,
Savage. Out here and they savaging everybody. And what is it? You got the whatchamacallit, the angels. What is that? A Playboy. Mm-hmm. Not, was it the Playboy runway?
The Victoria's Secret.
Yes. Victoria's Secret out here had to cancel their show because they was like, yeah, the Savage and Rihanna came out here and told us up that we not even gonna waste the time on doing the show this year.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean it could be a case of people online, you know, being upset isn't necessarily the highest priority, because, you know, sometimes they don't represent real numbers. Like, they'll say they want something and not do it. But I feel like we have a lot of counterfactual to that when it comes to clothing, because people actually do have to wear clothes. So, you know, while somebody might say some shit like, I want a politician that does blankety blank, and it's like, they're not actually gonna leave the house for that nigga. People do wear clothes, and so the idea that someone wouldn't want clothes that fit them, especially in a country where size keeps going up because, hey, we're getting bigger and bigger out here, it kind of makes sense that, you know, you will want that money. But okay.
Yeah, like I said, it actually financially makes no sense to me. Like, yeah. I don't understand it.
Chipotle is fined $1.4 million in a vast child labor case.
Down here making the kids work.
First, with a mounting labor shortage and high employee turnover, restaurant chains have earned plaudits for offering incentives to workers to stay in the job longer, tuition payments, bonuses, even a four-day work week. But the shortage of workers also appears to have a darker effect, a steady drumbeat of labor violations by operators who have cut corners to keep their restaurants fully staffed. In the latest example, Chipotle Mexican Grill was fined $1.4 million on Monday over accusations that it routinely violated Massachusetts child labor laws, with authorities estimating more than 13,000 violations from 2015 to 2019. Authorities examined the records of 6 Chipotle locations across the state, finding that the chain regularly let dozens of 16 and 17-year-old employees work more than 9 hours per day, more than 48 hours a week, a violation of state law. The authorities then used those findings to estimate that Chipotle had violated child labor laws 13,253 times across 50 locations in the state. Chipotle is not the only offender. Child labor laws vary significantly from state to state, making it difficult for national retail and hospitality chains to monitor all the differences. And with unemployment at 3.5%, its lowest levels in decades, chains across the United States are struggling to recruit low-wage workers, putting pressure on restaurant operators to break the rules. Yeah, or you could pay people more, according to employment lawyers and restaurant industry experts.
It's several things with this.
Mm-hmm.
Unions matter, and a lot of these places, particularly restaurant, they don't want to do unions. They don't want to do that, because you had unions, this motherfucking shit would not happen. Union people be like, the fuck is this? Get this kid out of here. Because, you know, unions actually stand up for people's rights. Not that the kids couldn't work there, but they be sending their asses home. Mm-hmm. You know, because they actually fight for everybody's rights. And also, the thing is, the child labor laws here, they only changed because they actually passed a law that was like, hey, people need to go to school, and y'all can't have them here all day. And also, you know, we limited and restricting hours. So we got a bunch of fucking mills here. I learned this doing a tour, a bunch of fucking mills here. They got shut down because the women couldn't work because they couldn't bring their kids there. So now, since they can't bring their kids there, they shut those meals down, because like that's what the Republicans want. They want your child, your precious child, who now we can go, oh, you don't work till you become 14. No, they want their asses working too, because they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay them, and it's very, very fucked up. And people need to be aware, and I actually don't think the fine is enough. Put a B behind that. Make them motherfuckers blink twice, because this is only one fucking state. You know it's 50 of them bitches, right? So you know if one state doing it, they all goddamn doing it.
Well, I just think now it becomes obvious why the guac is actually extra. Looks like it's a wrap for Chipotle. I guess they don't like when people talk about it. Oh, you want me to move on? Okay. So let's get into this rest. Oh, I snuck one in. But yeah, everything you said is right. I mean, basically, you don't have any unions and stuff. And then also the other part, I mean, when I was a child, I didn't understand all the labor laws and shit.
And they know most of those children don't. And if you don't have parents that's on their asses, and parents are like, look, I'm taking my motherfucking child home. Don't give a fuck about what y'all doing. My child has worked, like, you know, cause parents have to step in sometimes. And when kids don't know the law, they have kids breaking, they have working the register, cooking the fry. They, how you doing that? Cause you don't know.
And how are you doing in school? Working 48 hours
they
a week.
They don't give a fuck about your grades.
And also, like, why wouldn't the other obvious solution be to just pay people more money?
Hello.
I mean, you need to, you know, you were paying say $15 an hour, maybe you wouldn't have a problem getting employees in there.
And wouldn't probably might not even have to hire the children.
Like, okay, the CEO might have to take a small pay cut, but now you're not getting fined that $1.4 million. Now the real question is, how much money did they make and who gets that money? Because $1.4 million fine sounds like it goes to the state. Sounds like someone should be having a class action lawsuit on the behalf of those kids to get there, you know, for the fucking emotional toll or whatever. But and my guess is kids like that don't even fucking know those rules are violated,
right? And they don't have the resources. And this is something too, along with unions, they're trying to break up class action lawsuits. They're trying to stop the general public from doing class action lawsuits. They want you to come one by one, and they know that they got more money than you, and they can work your ass down. Well,
that's, I don't know if Massachusetts is one of those states.
No, but just in general, they're against, you know, they don't want class action lawsuits.
Well, the other thing I have too, though, is let's think about it from that time when we were that age. The kid themselves probably isn't upset.
Correct.
Cause when you're that age, you're like, wow, I found a place that'll let me work 50 hours a week and pay me, you know, $9 an hour plus time and a half. Mm-hmm. So to a kid, you're stupid. You're thinking short term. You're just like, I can get some new Jordans. But, you know, to an adult, it's like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, there's laws. What if my kid should be home by a certain time? What about my schooling and stuff like that? So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody went and found, you know, those kids.
Yeah, and my, excuse me, and my heart goes out, because some of those children actually aren't children that come from privileged homes, and they actually needed every single fucking dime. So yeah, they were willing to work that time because they needed it.
Mm-hmm. The Grammy Awards are rigged, says a suspended Recording Academy CEO. A suspended CEO has claimed the annual ceremony is rigged. Deborah Dugan served as the CEO of the prestigious Recording Academy. During an interview with CBS This Morning, Dugan made several shocking claims about the nomination and award process. In that room, not only are there trustees that have conflicts of interest on particular artists that are nominated, but more importantly, there are even artists that are nominated that are in the room. So for me, that's just such a blatant conflict of interest. Dugan claimed that artists will get moved up on the nomination list based on the people they know. Why didn't you name names, sis?
No, she didn't join to that.
She said the Song of the Year category was specifically an issue. When discussing a list of 20 artists, Dugan said that someone at the bottom of the list was moved up to the top five. She claims that it's a system that historically benefits. Karen, I don't know if you're ready for this. This is I see you are sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You sure you want to hear this?
Go ahead.
Okay. That's right. Breaking news, everyone. Breaking news. It is a system that historically benefits white males. Thank you. Thank you for coming out to the Blackout Tips Breaking News broadcast, where we know you trust us with the latest scoops.
Right, because some of our greatest artists of all time have never won Album of the Year, have never won Artist of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know it's shocking to hear that white males benefit the most from this system.
You don't say. You don't say. Mm. Okay. Mm,
mm, so, yeah. Like when Macklemore beats Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm. When Beck beat Beyonce.
Beck beats Beyonce, or Adele beats Beyonce, even, I guess. You just have to wonder. How did that happen? Dugan said she was suspended for reporting corruption within the Academy's processes as severe misconduct on the part of former CEO Neil Portnow. However, the Recording Academy says she was suspended for bullying a former assistant. Probably both. After Dugan's interview, this year's host Alicia Keys has canceled interviews leading up to the ceremony.
I know she did. She was like, I don't want to be, but no, they just hired me to host. They ain't hired me for the other shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't even feel bad because, look, you're not gonna make me address the elephant in the room when I'm a black woman that just got this gig.
Right.
And I'm not the CEO. So.
Talk to them bitches.
Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna have me out there talking about no sir.
Nope, you ain't gonna have me looking like a fucking fool. Ask them. I have nothing to do with that.
And if it is, let's see what else I want to talk about, guys.
Ain't that funny they're asking her? The fuck is this? Talk to them other people. Somebody know who these people are?
Mm-hmm. Tempe police declared war on Penis Man.
Who?
Mm-hmm. Penis Man. He struck again, Karen.
The superhero.
Wait, hold up. They might have caught Penis Man. Give me a second. They caught Penis Man. I'll put this in Guess the Race. They say, oh, you know what, look like it's going in Guess the Race, guys. We done caught Penis Man.
Okay. I guess I get to hear his story.
Come up later in the show. Tune in later in the show. We discuss Penis Man. That's a little foreshadowing,
a little teaser, a
little tease, guys, for later in the show. Speaking of penises though, guys, okay, pastor teaches female members how to give a blowjob. Wait, is this real? What site is this?
No.
This is...
I rebuke.
Information NG.
I don't think that's a real site.
Who sent this to me?
I don't think that's a real site.
InformationNG.com.
Never heard of it.
It's from December 2019. Mm-hmm. Let me see the other articles on this site. Information Nigeria is the name of it. You got to sign in to even see the other information. Y'all ain't about to get my credit card. Mm-mm. I'm sorry, Nigeria. I'm out.
Mm-mm. Ain't no prince about to promise me no money.
Y'all tried it. Okay. Y'all almost got the black guy tip. So we was a little too skeptical. So let's go to another ridiculous story.
Okay.
A Mesa woman gets emergency surgery after a vibrator gets stuck in her bladder.
How you get it in your bladder, baby?
She probably took positive vibes only a little too far.
Way too far. I didn't know they was all connected like that. I mean, I know there's a lot of shit happening down there, but goddamn, how you get from the uterus to the bladder?
Arizona woman's recovering from surgery after getting a sex toy stuck in her bladder. It's a case that stunned the emergency room doctors on OBGY and the OBGYN, and that woman spoke out to Arizona's family, warning others about the product she used.
Was it a small product? Yeah.
Warning others.
Yeah, because it's probably other people that probably use the same vibrator that's like, what the fuck? And they about to get a fucking lawsuit. Because I'm trying to tell you one thing. A bitch touched my bladder. Yes, I'm suing. Because she didn't know that was going to happen prior to using the product.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, Karen. I guess Dukes of Hazzard should warn others not to jump the bridge, huh?
Yes, I warn you bitches, this is the product, don't use it.
The car, this, okay. Yeah, let me just warn everybody else not to jump off this building and think they're going to fly.
Yep. Because
you know everybody need the warning.
Yep, because if it's one dummy, it's more than one dummy out there too.
This is why they had a warning thing for that stuff that comes with your shoes when you get a shoebox and you say don't eat it.
Because somebody ate the bitch, that's why.
Right.
Somebody gotta die or fuck it up or get sick or sue before they be like, hey, we might need to put a warning on that.
Somebody thought it was a treat, a delicious little treat to come with your Colin Kaepernick shoes.
Somebody did, apparently, because why else the fuck is the warning on there?
She asked that we keep her name anonymous. I wonder why. If you want everybody to know, well, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Apparently it can happen to anybody. You should be the face of this, sis. via spokesperson. Her pleasure turned to pain in an instant. Every time it went off, it was like my entire abdomen was vibrating. She was talking to the new Vesper vibrator necklace. She was talking about her new Vesper vibrator necklace by the company Crave. She wore the sex toy around her neck out to dinner with her boyfriend, then used it with him when they got home earlier this month. She was only using it on the outside of her body as intended. I moved and out of nowhere, I just felt a really sharp pain, she said. The vibrator was nowhere to be found. Where is it? And he like didn't know. She said about the moment she and her boyfriend knew something was wrong. Sound like he's a little heavy handed. But she could still feel it. First reaction was panic because I had just lost something inside of me that was still going off. Still vibrating? Asked reporter Brianna Whitney. Yes, still vibrating, the woman confirmed. With the device still on, she went to the emergency room where doctors did pelvic exams, but with no success. The emergency room staff wasn't able to find it in the vagina.
All right, because that's initially where you would look. That makes sense.
So then they looked in the abdomen and realized the device was actually in the bladder. I've never seen a case like this in my entire career. Well, let's warn everybody, y'all, even though it's only been one case of it ever, I'm sure there's legions of people just shoving it right on in the pee hole. I'm just sure that just just take wrong whole food to the next level. Okay, we just doing this. Little thank you for warning us. I'll try not to stick any dildos in my pee hole.
Not me either.
They had to surgically remove it.
Yeah, because most dildos are bigger and they don't fit in the pee hole.
Maybe she got a big pee. She got a wide pee hole, Karen.
She might.
We don't
maybe
know.
Got big clits. She might.
The woman plans on filing a lawsuit against the company. I know these niggas are like, man, if you don't get the fuck out of here, for lack of warning label.
Yeah, this is why we got the McDonald's coffee's hot.
Sex toy industry gonna go out of business because of this woman. I just hope you feel this way when all it was hard. It's harder to get a vibrator than a pair of Kobe's right now. I hope you feel the same way. Keep that same energy, Karen.
She had a vibrator necklace.
When Adam and Eve is like, we don't sell vibrators because people might stick them in their POs, and this woman has sued us for all we got, and all your invoices to the Black Autist is gonna be a little late this year. Cause we had somebody filed a lawsuit for emotional distress. Cause apparently she didn't understand you can't put it in your pee hole. We gotta tell people that. Hey, don't
it's
throw this
like,
vibrator all
like
up in your pee hole.
Plan on that.
Okay.
She didn't go in with the specific thing. I'm gonna throw it in my pee hole and see what happened.
Don't stick your dick in the exhaust pipe of a car. Do I need to fucking put a label on the back of the car? Or are we good, guys? Are we good here?
People do stick their dicks in things like that.
Right. So, but we gotta fucking bubble wrap the world for these fucking idiots, apparently. That's the new line. That's the new line now. Oh, guys, don't do that. Hey, don't take the straws from McDonald's and sip out of the toilet. You just, hey, we didn't put a label, so here's $1 billion, cause fuck it. We should have known. We're having a personal responsibility.
Well, I tell you one thing. This happened to me. Yes, nigga, I'm goddamn suing.
If this happens to me, we're not telling anyone that I was that stupid. We're not gonna do it.
I'm
not embarrassing myself. That's why she ain't put her name on it. Cause she know. I can't wait for that final lawsuit when we find out her name so I could be like, you idiot.
Nope, because my thing is, this was not her intentions.
Sure it wasn't. Maybe, how you know it wasn't a setup? How you know she didn't stick it up her urethra to say, haha, now we can sue them for something that clearly no fool would do on accident?
Why would you do that?
That exactly. Well, why would you stick a vibrator up your pee hole in the first place? How you get all the way up in your bladder?
I don't know. Exactly. I got the same question.
Exactly.
I got the same motherfucking question you got, nigga.
Except I'm not on her side. Rapper Soulja Boy sued for allegedly pistol whipping a woman in the head. Damn. Woman claims around 8 a.m. the next day she was finally able to, wait, hold up. Who wrote this article? This shit started in the middle. That's not how articles start at all.
I said, look at the source.
It's, the blast.com. Are they, Are they not real?
I don't know. See.
Just it may have just been a way to say, okay, rapper Soulja Boy is being sued by a woman for allegedly violently bashing her in the head with a gun, along with ordering her being tied up and victimized sexually by another person inside of his home. Oh, if any of this is true, he's in trouble.
Yes, sir.
I hope it's not. According to legal documents obtained by the Blast, the rapper was sued in LA Superior Court by a woman who claims she and Soulja Boy had an on again, off again romantic relationship for 4 years. Hopefully it wasn't Nia Riley. In February of last year, according to the filing, she and another female who worked for the rapper got into a physical altercation over the backing a car out of the rapper's driveway. During the fight, she said Soulja Boy, real name DeAndre Way, approached yelling profanities and kicked her, stomped her in the stomach and bashed her in the head with a large gun. He then held the gun to her head and told her she was gonna die that night and would not make it home. She claims she was hurt so badly she had trouble breathing. At that point, she claims he ordered his assistant to take her to a shower and he watched while she undressed and claims he was present when she showered. At that point, she says he was not happy with how the woman looked after the shower and asked her to take a second shower because she still had mud and dirt on her from when the rapper beat her by his driveway. She claims the rapper instructed his assistant to take her in the garage to tie her with duct tape. Shockingly, the woman claims Soulja Boy then ordered his assistants to grab her and she was wrapped in an extension cord around her arms and took her to the garage where she was watched by several people at the home for 4 hours. Eventually, she alleged one male inside the home said that he would let her go if she performed oral sex on her. She claims at that time she felt she had no choice but to perform oral sex in order to escape the garage. In the lawsuit, she claims around 8 a.m. the next day, she was finally able to leave. She claims she filed a police report about the incident and was taken to the hospital where she was told she had 3 fractured ribs and facial contusions. The woman is suing for assault and battery, false imprisonment, and sexual battery. She is suing for an undisclosed amount, but says she continues to suffer from emotional distress, anxiety, depression, humiliation, and fear. He was arrested in April for a probation violation after officers executed a search warrant based on the allegation he kidnapped the woman. It appears those cases are related.
Well, goddamn.
Who knows, dog? And with that motherfucker, like, Soulja Boy is always, like, had this erratic behavior and shit. And so I can never tell with shit like this. Like, you hope it's not true, but.
Yes, you do.
That would be a hell of a fucking lie to make up.
Yeah, when she got records that I was fucked up.
Yeah. Like, in there, yeah, that would be a lot. So I don't know, man. Speaking of which, Khalees says that the Neptunes blatantly lied to her about contract split. Khalees says she made nothing from the sales of her first 2 albums because of the contract. As Khalees pressed for the 20th anniversary of Kaleidoscope tour, the singer sat down with The Guardian to talk about her forthcoming tour. In regards to her music career, the New York artist revealed that she had a falling out with Pharrell that stems from an unfair publishing contract she signed with him and fellow Neptunes collaborator Chad Hugo as part started her career. I was told we were going to split the whole thing 33-33-33, which we didn't do. Blatantly, she said she was blatantly lied and tricked by the Neptunes and their management and their lawyers and all that stuff. Their argument is, well, you signed it. I'm like, yeah, I signed with what I was told, and I was too young and too stupid to double check it. Khalees then went on to recount how the last time she saw Pharrell was at an industry event he was performing at, and she was part of the audience. And he did that thing to me that he's notorious for, which is making a nod from the stage to someone in the audience. So it seems like there's mutual respect, when in reality, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to yell back. You stole all my publishing. So you end up nodding back, and everyone thinks everything is great. Like, whatever. Elsewhere in the interview, she spoke about Nas and his claims that she stops him from seeing his son amid revealing that the rapper physically abused her in a 2018 interview. Any rational person will look at this situation and say to Nas, well, if you want to see your child, you have to actually show up. My kid is really a really happy child because I don't tell him when his father says he's going to come and he doesn't show up, she said. Damn. Khalees letting all the tea out.
Kick the pot over.
Yeah, someone told me that, like, the way the contract was set up, she wouldn't have been signed with the Neptunes or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I ain't seen no paperwork, and I don't know what she was told. No. Because what you're told and what you signed, I mean, maybe that's why it doesn't seem like she was signed to them, is because they told her one thing, but she just trusted these motherfuckers, and this is one of those industries where we don't blame the fucking sharks, right? People love Puff Daddy. People love these people that we think, you know, jerk folks on their contracts, we always blame the act. Why didn't you know you were gonna get jerked?
And they got people a lot of times that don't have lawyers, that don't know the jargon and how it's written up and shit.
How many of y'all have a fucking entertainment lawyer in your back pocket?
Right.
And most of the time, where do you get the advice on where to get your lawyer and shit from? These motherfuckers. So even then, you're getting fucked. You know what I mean? Like, they could just collaborate on fucking you. Like, hey, sign with my label. Here's my people. Don't worry. Our lawyers looked at it. You're good to go. And then she said she didn't notice she wasn't getting paid because she was touring. She was making money from the tours. It wasn't until later she realized she got nothing from her album sales. So, yeah, shit could just happen. All right, Billie Eilish, a white woman.
Okay, I was about to say who.
A young white girl artist. She's like blowing up right now. I don't know any of her music, but I know she was like big at the Grammys and shit.
Okay.
Anyway, she got interviewed, and I guess the topic of rap came up. And she said, there's a lot of rappers lying out here. Oh, here's one of her songs, Bad Guy. Okay. Can she like sing or?
Oh, I don't know. That's the first time I heard anything from this from her.
Let me go forward.
Duh. Like a club banger. I'm
a puppy, your animal. My mommy likes to. Oh, so it's kind of like mumble rap singing. Cause it's not like she's singing, really. It's not Adele, you know. Anyway.
Oh no, not Adele.
But yeah. So she admits that the storytelling in her music is mostly fiction, explaining that she and her brother Phineas enjoy developing characters and writing from the perspective of these characters. But to her, there's a big difference between telling an entertaining story and lying about your life. Just because the story isn't real doesn't mean it can't be important. There's a difference between lying in a song and writing a story. There are tons of songs where people are just lying. There's a lot of that in rap right now from people that I know who rap. It's like I got my AK-47 and I'm like, what? You don't have a gun? And all my bitches, I'm like, which bitches? That's posturing and that's not what I'm doing. Although she makes pop music, Billie Eilish is heavily influenced by hip-hop and embraces the culture. She's gone on record stating that her massive hit Bad Guy was inspired by J.I.D. and Isaiah Rashad tracks. Eilish has collaborated with Denzel Curry, Vince Staples, and other rappers. These connections have drawn her closer to the genre. As far as her own lyrics, Eilish's mother, Maggie Byard, told Vogue some of her daughter's morbid songs used to scare her. I don't care about that part. Yeah, I can see that. Her songwriting ability has earned her critical commercial success. She walked away from this year's Grammys with 5 awards. Also, superstar artists like Drake have admitted to being fans of her work. The internet is such a stupid ass mess right now, Eilish told Vogue when discussing the backlash Drake received for sending her praise through her text messages. Everybody's so sensitive. A grown man can't be a fan of an artist. There are so many people that the internet should be more worried about. Like, you're really going to say that Drake is creepy because he's a fan of mine, and then you're going to go vote for Trump? And what the fuck is this shit? Yeah, I don't know. The Drake texting, this thing is her and
how old is she? She's a child.
She's like 17 or 16 or something.
And that's the thing. She's like, why is a grown ass man got your number?
Yeah. Well, I think those celebrities is kind of different. Like, I think them famous people. Famous people don't even really be friends like that. To be frank, but I mean, I shouldn't say they don't be friends. They might not be friends. I'll put it that way. Like, famous people say they friends, and it could really be they don't really fuck with each other. Oh, she's 18. Anyway, not that it matters whether she's 18 or not. I literally don't understand if people are saying like Drake is having sex with these girls or he's grooming these girls for sex.
I don't know.
Or what exactly. So I've just kind of stayed away from that because I don't really know.
Mm-mm.
You know, I feel like if he's doing that kind of shit, it's going to come out because he's Drake.
Yes,
and he's so famous and he's so on the internet.
And
I don't
are
think.
Going to talk.
Yeah, I don't think he can cover that up. I mean, hell, we know every time he flies out one of these Instagram models, the whole internet blows up with, here's Drake with this Instagram model. So I feel like if he was fucking these very famous young underage or youngish age, 18 is not underage, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If he's doing that to these very famous, popular white women, white girls, it's gonna come out because people protect the fuck out of these white girls. So, you know, I think it would come out. Kind of like when Tiger was dating one of the Kardashians, it was like everywhere. And that girl was underage.
Right, and people like that bullshit was normal.
Yeah, people just didn't care, but it was everywhere. So, I don't know, man. But anyway, I saw people getting offended by what she said, but I'm going to be real, I don't see anything offensive about it.
I can see what she said as being offensive for the fact that people are going, well, people rap about things that they don't have and things like that, like all the time. It's one of them things, not trying to find it, it's a great thing. Who are you, white woman, to come over here, a white little girl to come over here and tell us the fuck about rap?
Mm.
So I can see why people get mad. People go, yeah, this is what the fuck we do. Everybody that raps doesn't always tell the truth. And we're content with that. We're fine with that. Who are you to come and judge us and tell us that there's something wrong with the things we rap about and they might not be quote unquote truthful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the way I see it is that she's trying to describe the difference between what she does and rap. Not because she didn't say it was bad. She said, that's not what I'm doing.
Correct.
So like you just took it to how you gonna come and sell us like that's wrong,
but
she didn't say it was wrong.
No, she didn't, but that's how people project and feel when she said the statement. People took it as a totality of you're attacking rap with her saying that statement. So I can understand why people would be like, well, bitch, who the hell are you and the fuck you think you got authority to come over here and speak on this? Not that that's right or wrong or indifferent, but I understand why people would feel like that.
I mean, I can understand why people feel any fucking way, but that don't make it right. I think this is one of those things where I don't really think there's much to be upset about. Like, they asked her a specific question, what's the difference between you singing where you make up these characters and say this shit and rappers saying, you know, I'm selling drugs or whatever the fuck. And she's like, well, I'm saying this is not me. It's just, this is a story we made up. It's not real at all. Some rappers have lived this shit. Like, I listen to too many trap rappers to be like, they don't live these raps. Too many of my faves is in prison, Karen. Tay-K was living that shit. Okay, some of these motherfuckers is real. So
yes, some are not.
Right.
Yes.
So I can understand the distinction of like rappers kind of all want to rap like they real, and they don't make this distinction of that's not me, that's my character, in the way that maybe her and her brother do. Now I'm just not bothered by her opinion because who gives a fuck?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, so. You know, you find they're lying to be something you don't understand. To me, it's part of our culture, and
correct.
It doesn't bother me because I grew up with niggas lying, but I always knew that, I always just knew, like, they probably lying. And then you get surprised, like, one out of every 20 of these niggas, you like, oh, he actually killed some people.
Right, and that's kind of the pushback on her statement altogether, like, for some people.
Yeah, like, Murder on My Mind was real.
It sure was.
That was the problem with that, actually, is that it was
too real.
It was too real. The judge literally was like, yes, you really said that shit. So anyway, I don't know. I get people, I guess if you want to be upset, you can be upset. But
about anything, yes.
I'm not wasting my fucking energy on this woman.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Because you're going to talk about it next time. I'm gonna like, whoo, all over again. So I'm beat up, forgot about
him. Yeah. Fox television stations launches Fox Soul, new streaming service with black viewers in mind.
Yay.
That's right, the same people that brought you Fox News. Fox television stations has launched a new live streaming platform with shows that are catered specifically for a black audience. I guess they're trying to get that BET Plus money.
I guess my question is this: what black people, I said yay too quick, because my question is, what black people are you catering to? Are you catering to the Republican blacks? Is everything y'all the special snowflake shows? Like, I got to see what we working with for you first.
Well, it's a free streaming platform. It currently only airs Monday through Friday. Along with original programs, the lineup will include existing shows from Fox stations, such as 101 with Keisha Cole.
Okay.
On the 7th with Dr. Sean.
Who?
The Tammy Mack Late Show.
I don't know who that is either.
I don't know
none of these people.
Out Loud with Claudia Jordan.
I know Keisha Cole.
Out Loud with Claudia Jordan. The Mike and Donnie Show.
This is why it's 5 days a week.
And Fit and Fab with Elise Neal.
Is it from 8 to 5 to 9 to 6? Because I don't think that's enough program for you to go all day.
Well, they say it's going to be Monday through Friday. And they will have some original shows.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be 24 hours. It's going to be like a work week, work day.
Wow, see how we do our fellow black people, y'all.
Yeah.
What if one of these original shows is us? Oh, the Rod and Karen Show. And then Karen, someone will be out there talking bad about us because they ain't heard of us yet. Well, that's why you tune in. Maybe you get introduced to some new shit and you be like, oh my god, look at this new dope black shit I never heard of.
I am here for the jokes.
Because
it's Fox.
Some additional locally produced Fox programming includes Later with Leon. Oh god,
Leon, Reverend Leon, Line of Love.
Who's coming up with these names?
They was like, who got the most blackest name? Hired him.
Maybe they mean Later with Leon, like the Late Late Show. Maybe that's what they mean.
I don't know.
Who is Leon?
They gonna have a show with Dr. Jeff too?
Is it the actor Leon? The one that's like, y'all want to hang with old Eddie Kane? That dude?
I'd watch that, but yeah, I don't know.
Who Later with Leon? What if it's just a nigga named Leon? He just be like, but we'll get to that later on every topic.
Yes, we'll get to it later.
Yeah, you listening to Later with Leon. You know, the Iowa caucus, it's like it's a mess over there, but we gonna get with that after the commercial break. We're gonna get to that later.
We're gonna get to that later. You know, that Kobe Bean Bryant, he died, but you know what? You know, we gonna get to that later.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that after the show is off, okay? We're gonna come right back. We're gonna go to some commercials, and then we're gonna come right back. We're gonna talk about it. You're listening to Later with Leon.
That's the whole show.
Coming up, we got a chef. He's gonna show us how to make the best barbecue ribs. All right, now I see you got your sauce out here. I see you got your ribs. We're gonna come back to you later, but first, it's gonna be 30 minutes of segues to other shit.
But first, we're gonna talk about the weather. They'll be like, yes, it's 75 today and Sunday. But yeah, he talk about the weather and stuff, but we're gonna get to that later.
Yeah. What's the weather gonna be like later, though? Because you're talking about what the weather is right now. Yeah. What's the weather gonna be tomorrow?
Yes.
You know what? Moving on, let's go to sports. What's going on in sports? Now we see that the Spurs are playing the Lakers, but let's not talk about that. Let's go ahead and talk about Friday's matchup. Because they supposed to be playing the Grizzlies.
Yes, and I hear there's a wreck on 85. We're going to talk about that later. Let's talk about what's happening on 77. Yeah. We're going to talk about that later. What about on 485 near Gastonia? We're going to talk about that later, too.
It's time for Weather on the Ones. But we're going to come right back to that weather. Because first of all, I got to say we are sponsored by Publix. Okay? Publix Chicken. It's good now or later with Leon. Okay?
Come on! And while that, you can try the subs too. I heard that they good for later on that night when you get hungry. While you're listening to Later with Leon.
The Q is going to be a show, and it's the Q, just the letter Q.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Just the letter Q?
I don't know what that. What is Dish Nation?
Okay.
Isn't that already something? Isn't Dish Nation a thing?
Isn't that like an antique show where they go around and do show?
That's Antique Road Show.
Dish. Oh, pfft.
I thought Dish Nation was like a satellite provider or something.
I don't know.
Dish Nation. Maybe it's just gonna be people doing. Maybe it's a cooking show. Maybe it's a cooking show. They could be making dishes.
Yeah, showing you how to make dishes from scratch, make pottery.
Or it could be a gossip show. Like, we about to dish on this.
That'd be good.
Tune in to Dish Nation. We're gonna tell you what's going on with Beyonce and Jay-Z behind the scenes. The Isaiah Factor. Uncensored. What was the censored version of the Isaiah podcast? Or is that like Isaiah, maybe it's that dude, Isaiah Washington, uncensored. Oh. Let me tell you, I ain't no coon. Now this whole episode about Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yes, the whole episode.
First of all, I hate a stupid ass, okay?
We go through all the tweets.
Coming up later, Isaiah Factor uncensored. This bitch, like, what? No, you can't do that, Isaiah. Uncensored.
We're back for season two.
And Street
Soldiers. I'm still mad.
And Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers.
Oh, Street Soldiers, okay.
Street Soldiers. Maybe that's gonna be a kids cartoon like G.I. Joe. Okay, but it'll be with black kids in the streets.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, hopefully, I don't trust Fox News, but we will see where it goes. I wish everybody on there nothing but the best, but we'll see.
Who the fuck is Tammy Mack?
I have no idea. Keisha Cole is the only person I know out of everybody you named.
Tammy Mack presents Black Friday Beauty. So she's a black woman. She's been in a lot of commercials. It says on IMDb, from Verizon to Capital One. So she likes somebody, man. Like, she got a radio show, you know? So, okay. Hopefully she holding it down. I don't know enough about her, but, you know, maybe I'll find out through this streaming channel, Fox O.
Cause if it's good, the blacks will let us know.
Yeah. Tammy Mack. Like, good for her, dog. Like I said, I don't want to hate on this. I just don't know enough about it.
I don't know about it, and I don't trust Fox, so we'll see.
The original air, Fox does have Family Guy and stuff. Not everything related to Fox is Fox News. The original programs will air on weeknights, but from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. PST. Also, 9 p.m. to like 1 p.m., 1 a.m. our time or some shit.
But they don't want nobody out here to see it.
The original shows will be followed by 2 hours of Fox local TV. Fox Soul is available on iPhone, Android, Apple TV, Fire TV apps. Okay.
That's what I had to give away for free.
Yeah, well, my question is, like, if it's live streaming, so I can't go back and watch like an old episode of the Tammy Mack only got 6,500 followers on Twitter. And she don't even got a star, a check. What is happening?
Step your game up, Fox.
What is going on with
all the people that host the shows ought to have a check mark.
Wow. Anyway, I'm rooting for her and everything, but I'm just
I'm rooting for her and Keisha Cole and all of them.
Maybe this could have been us. That's all. I'm not gonna hate it all. Okay. Mm-mm. We might be coming from Fox O next year.
Next year, Fox O.
They gonna find this episode and they gonna cancel us before we can even get started.
Don't cancel us.
Karen was joking on Fox Soul.
Don't cancel us.
Tammy Mack gonna be like, I heard what you said, motherfuckers. I'm gonna be like, I didn't even say nothing, Tammy. You said I don't got no check. I'm like, I can give you my check. Log in my account.
Don't cancel us, Fox. Foxo, not Fox News, Foxo.
I didn't hear the Dominant Silk show, so I think this might be different than Fox News.
Yeah, don't do Dominant Silk.
I know Isaiah Washington got a show coming to Fox Nation, but that's different.
Oh, that's different. That's closer to Fox News than
now,
Fox.
That was a good Super Bowl ad. The one for the Fox streaming station. For real patriots that won't.
Real Americans.
Real American stories.
This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast.
Hey there, I'm just a white man with a cowboy hat and a guitar indoors for some reason. Randomly. Just standing by a pickup truck. And I gotta say, it's time for real patriots to have TV, okay?
I like to hunt. I like NASCAR.
You're sick of the libs. And the PC cucks telling you what to watch. Come on down to Fox Nation, okay? We got the best premium shows on TV, okay? We got all our blacks have been vetted, okay? We got the Ben Carson Hour,
just the man's man
show, the Isaiah Washington Food Channel, and we also got Dominant Silk. So come on to Fox Nation. All right, let me move into some other things. What time are we looking at? Okay, cool. I guess we can do some fucking with black people, guys. I think That's wait, how did I get off of that page? But yeah, I think we can do some fucking with black people. I think we have plenty of time to get into it. As soon as the theme pops up, which it did, and
we're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe, and we sign different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. See who's messing with us. Virginia GOP delegate is trying to kill his own bill that will remove a statue of the Democrat and segregationist Harry Byrd. Delegate Wendell Walker, Republican, introduced a bill to remove the tribute to the former governor and U.S. senator in Richmond after a Democratic push to remove Confederate statues in the state. The reason I put that in was more of a political reason, Walker said of the reasoning behind wanting to kill the proposal. Walker offered his bill in response to Democratic efforts to remove Confederate statues across the state, including the statue of General Robert E. Lee in the U.S. Capitol building. These controversial efforts have sparked protests, including Charlottesville in 2017, after the town decided to take down their own statue of Lee. After Democratic delegates expressed their support for Walker's bill, he requested the bill no longer be considered, and he did not want the statue to actually be taken down. So they called his bluff.
Mm-hmm.
He said they took down one of our Republican, Robert E. Lee, they took down our statue. Well, you know what they won't want to do? Take down a Democrat statue, because they love Democrats, and it doesn't matter that he's been accused of the same thing. He's a segregationist. And the Democrats said, actually, yes.
Yes. Yeah, take them all down, bitch.
Take that down, too.
Yeah, we don't got no problem with that. Take that one down, too.
He says, I think history is very important, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And I was not willing to allow the governor to have the opportunity to remove statues. The state's House Rules Committee voted to let the bill go by for the day instead of removing it as Walker wanted, with the State House Majority Leader Sharneel Herring saying she wants to hear the delegate's reasoning on why he wants to kill the bill. Two other bills were struck at the request of their sponsors, including Walker's legislation. Byrd, who was governor from 1926 to 1930, led the massive resistance in the state in the 1950s and 60s against school integration at the board. Wow, we read about this on the show. At the Brown versus Board of Education ruling. Yeah, Virginia. This is where we talked about it.
They was like, fuck it, won't nobody go to school for a goddamn year.
And you know who I have to give all the credit for, y'all? And y'all, I know a lot of y'all don't fuck with this man, and y'all had issues with me when I said that I needed him to stay in office, but gotta give all the props to Ralph Northam. Y'all remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He moonwalked so we could run. Nothing but love to my man. Yeah, they went Democratic majority in 2019, and Governor Ralph Northam has said that he backs legislation to relocate Confederate monuments and to swap out the Lee statue from the Capitol. But not all Democrats backed the effort to remove the statue, with Senator Chap Peterson, probably white, saying he's very uncomfortable with a lot of what's going on regarding Confederate statues. Ah, get the fuck out of here, Chap. Chap. Kind of name is Chap for a grown man. Chap Peterson. Two people from the Capitol Square Preservation Council previously said in Roanoke Times op-ed that they would like the plaque by the statue which celebrates Byrd to be replaced with the true story. So leave the statue up but tell the true story. This nigga was a racist. That don't make no sense. Take that shit down.
Right.
Just take it down. Who gives a fuck? Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
I'm not fuck with them wanting to take the statue down. I fuck with everything else.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really fucked with by this story. I think it's actually kind of funny that he wants to kill his own bill, because mm-hmm. Democrats actually did say,
they,
you know what,
bluff.
That's actually a great idea. We should take all the racist statues down.
He was problematic too. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought it to our attention.
Yeah, because we didn't know, but I'm glad you brought it to our attention.
This motherfucker can go too.
Oh, they'd be like, well, he was on the list. We just didn't think we could get down that far.
Mm-hmm. And this is exactly why I wanted to make sure that Ralph Northam could stay in that position with that blackface scandal, because I said he about to work twice as hard. Y'all thought they only get one term. And the motherfucker under him was accused of sexual assault by two different black women. So, mm-hmm. ain't exactly like I was hoping he would get in charge. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Ralph Northam,
you know, I was,
go ahead and put on your dress shoes.
You keep on with
and your white socks.
Got a lot of power. Open up the front door, y'all. Let him moonwalk you on in here.
Because I know you want to cut a rug. Let him go. Miss Northam, do let that man dance.
Go ahead and give him that glove, y'all.
Miss Northam had to grab him. No, baby, what
she
you doing?
No, no, baby, no. I bet that shit was going slow motion in her head. No.
He's like, yeah, I can show you guys if you want to see. Oh, I'm being told that's not a great idea. Mm-hmm.
No, my wife vetoed that one.
A man disguised as a woman was arrested for a Petersburg vandalism spree. A man dressed as a woman was arrested Sunday night for a spate of racist graffiti and other types of vandalism in a Petersburg neighborhood. Officials say more than 30 acts of vandalism to homes, cars, and mailboxes in the Berkeley Manor subdivision were reported since the first incident in mid-December. This motherfucker was like a vandal. He was a bandit. The spray paint bandit. Detectives with the Special Investigations Unit spotted a man disguised as a woman walking up to a home, and he tagged the structure with paint. Following a brief foot pursuit, police arrested 61-year-old Jackie Reed.
61!
Of Norfolk without incident.
Bitch, ain't you got other things to do with your time? You almost retired, about to retire.
Norfolk, Virginia? Not Ralph Northam, Virginia. Not on these streets you won't. He probably had the full task force on them.
No, he did.
Get SWAT on him. Okay. Undercover everything. Also, why was he dressed as a woman? Reed is being held on multiple counts of felony vandalism and stalking in connection to the home.
Because he didn't think he would be identified.
Mm. You think he tried to act like a woman when they got him?
I bet you did.
You under arrest. Oh, no. What did I do, officer? They're like, sir, mm-hmm. We know it's you.
Right.
Reed is being held without bond pending his appearance in court. Then let's see. Did they say what it said? I forgot. I know they had, at one point I had seen some of the graffiti, but I can't remember what I did with the pictures. But it was like, I think it said something like, gonna roast me a nigger tonight or something like that. So he was terrorizing the neighborhood with that bullshit. Neighbors first awoke to their homes, cars, and business splashed with spray paint, windows busted out, and what appeared to be BB guns and eggs in their mailboxes. It was just shock. Like, nothing ever happens here, Brandy Ash, who has been living in the neighborhood for 7 years, said. Ash said she got a phone call from her son while at work at 2 a.m. and then came home to find her family business, a food truck, had been vandalized. I was afraid I was hurt because it's in front of my home. It was my property. But more than that, it's not just my property, but this is where my peace is. But Ash said she quickly realized she was not the only one in her neighborhood that had been hit. When I talked to police officers, I realized not only was my property vandalized, it was all of my neighbors. The windows were broken, things were left in mailboxes, the whole neighborhood is, if your car was left on the street, it was vandalized.
So he's just going through fucking everybody's shit up.
Yep. On my car that was parked on the street, they wrote the letters KKK. Ash said even worse than the racial slurs is the way in which the messages of hate were used. It feels more like a hate crime now because it was more like a threat.
They had charged with a hate crime, yes.
It's not saying that, okay, they're calling me the N-word or they're saying they're KKK. They're saying we're going to cook a nigger or they're going to roast the N-word. If you, so yeah, they found them. But wow. 0 to 100.
Oh, motherfucking 100.
Yeah, Jacquard's for this dude. And the fact that he dressed like a woman
and walked through the injury. Neighborhood,
just, it's just such a ridiculous story. Like, right. Man, these motherfuckers hate black people. I don't even like leaving my house to talk to strangers at the grocery store. I can't imagine being this motivated by hatred.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they
I hate nothing that much.
He hates black people more than woke black people hate Tyler Perry. It's crazy.
Can you believe it?
Simulated lynching of dolls. Wait.
What?
Simulated lynching of dolls sparked outrage at Michigan State during Black History Month. Oh, Jesus. Michigan State University was called out by one of their students for a completely tone-deaf, trauma-inducing gift shop display. The university in East Lansing put up a gift shop display for Black History Month featuring dolls of prominent and historic black leaders hanging from wooden trees, as shown by a photo on social media. By the clothes the dolls wore, they seemed to represent Martin Luther King Jr., Harriet Tubman, and Barack and Michelle Obama hanging from strings on the local tree, on the display trees. The shop is located at the university's Wharton Center for Performing Arts. Student Crystal Davis Dunn saw the display and expressed her outrage in a Facebook post that was accompanied by a photo proof. My attention posting these images was to vent and highlight the continuous acts of microaggression I've experienced as a black student at MSU. The symbolism in these photos explains itself. I don't care about the artist's intent, nor the Wharton Center for Performing Arts gift shop intent. It's the impact of it and the culmination of all the culturally insensitive events that have happened at MSU. These images evoke a visceral experience. Trauma lives in the body. Enough is enough. Oh, they fuck with the wrong woke person because she had the words. She was ready for her close-up.
She been in training.
The display was eventually taken down on Friday once the university started receiving complaints. They released a statement calling it inappropriate and insensitive. They further said the Wharton Center would be providing employees and volunteers with racial bias training,
which is not gonna change a motherfucking thing.
Our fave. As we enter Black History Month, it's important that we not only recognize the many contributions of African Americans, but we remember history and confront all bias, MSU spokesperson Emily Gherkin Gurant wrote. The statement was not enough for some students, however.
No, it was not.
I wonder why they felt that way. Like, what was wrong with that statement?
It means you're not doing shit. Somebody lose their goddamn job. Who approved it?
Yeah.
Who approved it? You're on a fucking college campus.
My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
The university has issued a statement and said that all employees will have to take mandatory racial sensitivity training. The display has also been taken down, but that is not enough. Jackson ended by writing an Ida B. Wells quote, "The way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them." Davis Dunn responded to Jackson's post by writing, "Way to use your voice, Paul Equality Johnson," I guess it's Jackson, "call Michigan State University, demand affirmative action, inclusion and diversity among leadership, faculty and staff, as well as more institutional support for domestic students of color. It seems Michigan State could be on the brink of a backlash and protest if they don't turn things around in an expansive and meaningful way." Karen, 0 to 100.
Now this right here is I'm gonna give this one a motherfucking Jacquard. It's just for the fact that you're on a college campus. I'm a student here, and you just don't give a fuck. How many white people walked past this shit and just didn't think twice?
Mm-hmm.
Like just walked past it, didn't look up, didn't think twice. It took a person of color to take a picture and to actually make people respond, and now everybody wants to act shocked and appalled. There wasn't a problem with it until then. All the white people somebody had to put that shit up. Everybody put it up and everybody was okay with it. The fuck mm-hmm. is this?
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's so intentional. It's like something that you make up to, it's like something that if you wrote a script about, let's make a racist school, in 2020, and you would like put this in a script, and then that someone would come back and go, "Rod, this is ridiculous. This would never happen. Try to write something realistic." You know, like for Black History Month, they would string up dolls of prominent black historical figures. Rod, no one's that blatantly racist and stupid. And yes, there are some people that are that blatantly racist and stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. This particularly bothers me for the fact that I, as a black child, should be able to go to any university that I want and I desire to go to. But this is one reason why a lot of black people go like, fuck it, I'll just go to a HBCU. Well, I don't have to deal with this bullshit on my campus.
I can't believe no one got fired. Racial sensitivity.
Right,
training.
Right. And who's going to teach it?
Explain to me how the training is the problem here.
No, it's not the training.
Like, oh, they just weren't trained. Like, is there nothing, like, do you not understand how egregious that shit is?
They do. They don't give a fuck, and that's the problem. And yeah. The university is complicit in it, and that's the motherfucking problem. The university says, we know what they did is racist, and it's okay. Pat you on the head. Don't do it again while this student here, or don't do it where it can openly be seen. No, somebody need to be held motherfucking accountable. Like, no, it is not enough.
What's the plan for Women's History Month? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Y'all gonna burn women at the stake? Y'all gonna have dolls y'all gonna burn at the stake?
Here, we got these dolls set up like the Salem Witch Trials, cause, you know, Women's History Month. Like, that doesn't even make fucking sense.
You're frozen on my screen.
Oh, for real?
Let me refresh.
I'm moving.
Okay, I'll refresh.
You're moving too. Yeah, I don't know. And, is diversity training just gonna, don't do that?
Right.
I feel like that's such an obvious thing.
And now you're causing other people who know how to act. Now they got to fucking waste their time because y'all dumbasses. Now I have to fucking waste my day in fucking racial equality training because you don't know how to motherfucking act.
Yeah, it seemed like there would be one or two people that, you know, needed to be fired.
Right, fired. Because guess what? If people lose their motherfucking jobs, people get the point. Don't do that bullshit here.
Yeah, and then you know what? And I guess, in all fairness, everybody that walked by it and worked there and didn't have a problem with it, I guess you can make an argument to fire everybody in the store, to be honest. Like, anyone who didn't report the shit or
see that's why I ain't over shit, because I'd be like, oh, so everybody's gone, we got a whole new crew, because all y'all, everybody that was there, everybody that hung a string, everybody that went to the store to buy the props, everybody got to go.
Yeah. Cause I think they probably didn't have any black people that worked there, so you probably know
some crackers.
Not a motherfucking single one.
Yeah, you probably know who set up the display.
Them crackers.
Mm-hmm. Bank calls cops on Dracarys, by the way. Bank calls cops on black man who tried to cash a check from his discrimination lawsuit. Come on, man.
I heard this one, y'all. He had already filed a lawsuit for discrimination, y'all. Went to the goddamn bank with the check that he had got. And the bank called the motherfucking police and said his check was a fraud. They called the police on his ass. And 3 days later, they cashed the fucking check. So now he's suing them. Now he got two motherfucking checks to cash. Fuck them. Fuck them. 100. Motherfucking fuck them. I know his lawyer was like, ooh, more money for me, bitch. No, I hit the jackpot. Fuck them.
Oh my God.
Why didn't you hold the check like everybody else? And it was even fucked up. He banks there. I bank here. Do like you do with everybody else. Take the check, put it on hold, verify, and keep it going. Dang. No, you call the fried police, got the police in here, I'm looking stupid at them, they looking stupid at me, I'm going to check is real, you can't call somebody? The fuck is this?
Yeah, he's a United States veteran as well. He got an honorable discharge from the Air Force. They discriminate against me because I'm black. None of this would have happened if I were white, he said.
Right. And now I'm standing here in front of all the people. Probably didn't know they was calling the police. Police come up like, yes, can we help you? They're like, yes, sir, that man over there. And you look like, the fuck is this?
You can't even cash the check from the discrimination lawsuit.
The check from
you getting discriminated against at the bank.
Yes. And they cashed it 2 days later. Which means that's the shit they should have did anyway.
Oh,
because of a certain amount, they hold on to it.
Banking while black, huh? Well, I guess that was 100 for you, you said. So I'm not even gonna read the story. Karen gave you the whole story. I don't even have anything to say other than
because I remember hearing this story from somewhere else and I got mad.
A black man in Michigan tried to deposit checks at his bank and the manager called police.
So ain't none of our checks real, apparently. God damn.
No wonder everybody say hit the cash app.
Come on, do a direct deposit.
Ironically, the checks from Santore Thomas, he tried to deposit one from it's the same dude. Okay, this is a different picture. Thank God. That's actually good news. I thought two different niggas that got caught the bad one at the bank.
Mm-mm. I know his lawyers like, they did what? We own the case.
Oh, man.
His lawyers danced when they heard that.
I mean, they don't even have to make up a new case. They just use the same photocopy from the last lawsuit.
What? Cut, paste. Same lawsuit, same arguments.
Oh, man. Can't win at the bank. You know what? This has been a lot of very trying stuff, guys. I didn't realize it's going to get so heavy doing fucking with black people. It's, you know.
Me either. And then people wonder why people talk about black banks and shit like that, because you know what, a lot of times they're the only people that will give you loans and shit like that, because they had a study that says that there are black business owners.
Karen, you can't steal all the fucking with black people stories for the next time. I have these stories saved.
Oh, my bad.
Why are you trying to bring the show down even further? I'm trying to move us into something more lighthearted, something nice. I feel like this is the perfect time to do white people news.
I didn't know I was going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I don't want to do the discrimination rabbit hole. So yeah,
go and talk to her. Why are you so afraid?
I don't want to. I think it's so cute, and I think it's so sweet how you let your friends encourage you try to talk to me. But let me stop you there. Oh, before you speak. My name is no. My sign is no. My number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. My name is no. My sign is no. My number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. First you gonna say you ain't running games, thinking I'm believing every word. Call me beautiful, so original. Telling me I'm not like other girls. I was in my zone before you came along. Now I'm thinking maybe you should go. Blah, blah, blah. I be like nah to the ah, to the no, no, no. All my ladies listen up. If that boy giving up, lick your lips and swing your hips, girl. All you gotta say is my name is no. My sign is no. My number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. My name is no. My sign is no. My number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Feeling untouchable, untouchable.
I'm feeling
untouchable.
Hella cute.
Oh, I'm here for this. Somebody said Urban Kids Bop. I know one thing. I want that Boss Lady shawl cap thing she got on.
Yeah, now that was apparently a cover of Meghan Trainor's No.
Oh, I know. I never heard of No.
You know, the only Meghan around here is the Stallion.
That's the only one I know.
Who,
and Meghan, I trust.
Ironically, people did turn on her because it's so funny. We talked about two shows ago about how people be turning on folks. And, they turned on her for letting G-Eazy kiss her, who's a white rapper.
So. Oh, okay. I'm about to say, because I don't know who he is either.
I know. I know you love not to know. Anyway, Meghan Trainor's No got covered by these three girls. Pink Heart,
adorable
is the name of the group.
Pink Heart,
and it was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so cute.
That's adorable.
Where that little location was, that was mm-hmm. at, like.
Like, she had
a struggle location.
Says boss lady.
Yeah, so,
they was like, we gotta film this outside of city limits.
Yeah, so that was actually really cute. Now the Meghan Trainor No song,
did you find it?
I can try to find it. Yeah, so this is what the original sounds like, so we can see if it's better or not.
I think it's so cute, and I think it's so sweet. How you let your friends encourage you to try and talk to me. But let me stop you there, oh, before you speak.
My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go. My name is no, my sign
is
no, my number is
no.
I like this song.
You need to let it go, you need to let it go.
Okay, you know what? White person won that one. Okay, she won that round. I think it is better than the kids' version. But I think the kids' version was adorable and cute.
Kids' version was adorable.
They didn't try to put no soul on it and stank, you know, to put no stank on it, but it was still good.
Yes.
Now it's time to talk about y'all's man, Donald Trump, because that's who white people voted for.
Boo.
Sources say Trump looks to ban Nigerians from entering the United States. Yeah, did you think he'd just stop?
Yeah, he's gonna ban everybody.
I swear, white people got so excited and went to the airport to stand with people when that first travel ban was announced. Mm-hmm. But you can't stand in the airport 24/7, can you?
Right.
He's there every day, and he's just gonna slide the racism on in.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's allies are handing out cash to black voters. I'll tell you what.
There ain't nobody put no cash in my hands.
Y'all better take y'all ass out there and get that cash, and then, you know, go pay off some bills with it and vote for a Democrat.
The hell I won't. Yes, I will. Okay.
Now, of course, it's shady because the group behind the cash giveaways is registered as a 501c charitable organization, and you're not supposed to be doing that. And of course, it's being led by the fucking black pastor dude, Darrell Scott or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big ass scam.
Who definitely is a Trump person. So, is basically paying people for votes. Trump's decision to change domestic violence and sexual assault definition rolls women's rights back 50 years.
What?
Yep. Trump administration quietly changed the definition of both domestic violence and sexual assault back in April. The move has only just surfaced. The change could have significant repercussions for millions of victims of gender-based violence. The definition for them only considers physical harm that constitutes a felony or misdemeanor to be domestic violence, meaning other forms of domestic violence such as psychological abuse, coercive control, and manipulation no longer fall under the department's definition. Under the Obama administration, the definition was drastically more expansive and was assessed by a domestic violence organization. Was assessed by them. Okay, yep. I mean, you know, Obama is a terrible president, of course, so he was the worst.
He never did nothing
never
for nobody.
He never did shit for nobody. Mm-hmm.
Drones.
Even though it is now, 3 years into the Trump administration, and actually 2020, so it's almost the full 4 years, and it seems that Trump still has shit Obama did to be rolling back for a man who did nothing. It seems like rolling back all the progress he made is a full-time fucking job.
It is.
Not that Obama deserves any level of credit for anything, obviously. He's the worst.
He ain't done nothing.
Bernie Sanders would save us all, but yeah, still.
Bernie Sanders is the greatest ever.
The Office of Violence Against Women, part of the Department of Justice, has amended its definition of sexual assault to also focus on criminal justice aspects. Holly Taylor Dunn, a senior lecturer at the University of Worcester, who has been working in the field of domestic sexual violence for 17 years, says she was shocked by the move. The academic, who has worked on the front lines and roles in domestic violence sector and used to be a domestic abuse officer for the police, argued the Trump administration decision rolled back the clock 50 years.
Yes, because they don't give a fuck. He doesn't care.
Narrowing the definition will stop victims from being able to access services they need. Prosecutions for domestic and sexual violence will also fall because they are limiting it to the most severe forms of abuse, so fewer victims are likely to come forward and seek help.
Right, and more people are going to die.
Yeah. And be sexually assaulted with even less recourse than we have now. So, yeah. Shout out to your man's Trump. Get holding it down, literally.
Yeah, fuck him and fuck anybody that voted for him.
Holding it down so people can hold people down. Trump administration cuts Social Security disability benefits among the cruelest. So they cut, of course. Yeah. They have a proposal that will cut Social Security disability benefits by $2.6 billion over 10 years.
Woo!
Yeah. It will require millions of beneficiaries to reprove their disability and navigate a complex web of red tape and paperwork. Every 2 years, hundreds of thousands of people could lose benefits even though their condition has not changed. The Reagan administration implemented a similar policy for everybody's favorite. They love to say, I'm a Reagan Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
Yeah.
People with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, serious mental illnesses, and even terminal cancer were notified they were no longer disabled and their benefits terminated. All told, 500,000 people lost benefits. Thousands died, many by suicide. President Ronald Reagan's disability purge caused such suffering, it sparked a bipartisan revolt by 18 states that refused to implement it. Ultimately, a rare unanimous vote by Congress ended the nightmarish policy in 1984.
Wow!
Yep. Proven eligibility for benefits is an arduous process that can take months, if not years, and hundreds, if not thousands of pages of medical evidence. America has among the strictest eligibility standards in the world. Over 60% of applications are denied, and tens of thousands of people die each year waiting for benefits. But that's not tough enough for Donald Trump. While vital benefits are so modest, average roughly $1,200 per month for Social Security disability insurance and $536 for supplemental security income, that many beneficiaries live in poverty. Unspeakable hardship will result if this proposal takes effect. They claim the proposal is about efficiency, just like Reagan's administration did, but that's hard to square with the administration's own accounting. Finding that the new policy would nearly cost as much to administer, $1.8 billion, as it would save over 10 years by taking away survival benefits. But as with the rest of the Trump safety net cuts, the cruelty seems to be the point.
Of course, of course. And this is going to affect poor white people more than any other fucking group, which a large percentage of them voted for him. So this is what they wanted.
Yeah, but you know what? In all fairness, I don't even wish this upon the poor white people, because I don't even know that this particular group of people voted that way. Disabled Social Security people, maybe they did, but even if you did vote, no one deserves what the fuck this is gonna do to people.
You don't deserve
it's literally a death sentence for people.
Yes,
and
it is.
There's no bounds of decency that these people want, this administration will not cross. There's none. It's honestly sickening.
Right, and a lot of people don't really put it like this. A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't care, or they not going to care until shit directly impacts them. Homelessness is going to go up. You know, people being hungry are going to go up. You're talking about more domestic violence. Like, it is not going to look good. And then you're taking away all the safety nets that people had in our country. They're being slowly, slowly eroded and erased. And nobody cares until they need this service. And people are going to look at you like, I can't help you anymore.
Yeah, and as with everything, while there may be a bigger number of white people that is going to get caught up in stuff like this, in these broad sweeping program cuts, it doesn't matter to me. Because at the end of the day, a higher percentage of more vulnerable black and brown people will be the first people to be hurt by this.
Yeah, we go
it's
out
how
first.
It works. It's yeah. how it works. It's like, I know that argument people make it about welfare all the time. Like, oh, there's more white people on welfare. It is, but it's a lower percentage. And even those white people have ties to money and wealth via family connections and stuff that black people just don't have. Mm-mm. We know the average wealth of white people compared to black people is ridiculous. So they know that we don't have the safety net. The safety net is the government for some of us.
Correct.
And they, when they cut this shit, they know what they're doing. They know that, they know, and that, and the people who even vote for the shit know what's happening to us, and they're okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, because one of the things, well, we send them to death. Who cares?
Yeah, they'll sacrifice some of themselves for this.
Of course.
All right, let's get to white people news. Amber Heard admits to hitting ex-husband Johnny Depp and pelting him with pots and pans in a tape. Now, we covered this story before when it was all of her accusations about him, and had evidence for her shit. She had recordings of him did, and she called the police, and the police said they couldn't really find the bruise. She took pictures at the hospital that showed bruising, and now she's dating again. I think she's dating a woman now and all this stuff. And so the Johnny Depp hiding, like the truthers have been out there for
a
literally
time,
however
years.
Many years it's been. They've been out there, 2015. So they've been out there for 3 years. There's a bunch of anime avatar motherfuckers on Twitter. And they were the main people I saw kind of spreading. Here's the new information. And I had to wait till I could at least get somewhat better of a source than them, because they've been saying this man never did anything the whole time. And while people may feel that this somewhat exonerates him, what I find is, if I'm supposed to believe this audio and I'm supposed to believe the audio, I don't see how this disproves the earlier shit that she accused him of.
Right.
What it sounds like is two people that get physically violent with each other in a relationship, that were in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I don't cancel anybody and I don't skip anybody's movies and shit, so I don't have anything to like look back on and be like, man, I would have seen Pirates of the Caribbean 12. Like, if I seen it, I seen it. I don't really go by these people's personal lives. But I guess some people feel like regret that, like, oh, I canceled Johnny Depp and it looks like they was both beating each other or whatever. He's the real victim now. What this really reminded me of is Conflict Is Not Abuse, the book I read, and how because of social media, public perception, and police, the in a lot of these relationships where there's violent arguing, there's violence towards each other, it's who runs to the people first and says, I'm the victim. That's who quote unquote wins. And maybe that's what Amber Heard did. I don't know. You know, but I wanted to, I definitely wanted to believe her, especially after hearing all that shit, but, Johnny Depp had his receipts too. She admits to hitting Johnny Depp in an explosive audio confession from 2015. Yeah, I think they recorded this stuff as, it was supposed to be, tape conversations that they had for therapy or something. And 2015, and what I can't believe is that she ran with this knowing that these were out there. Like, unless these are fake, like, man, you got a lot of nerve to be like, yo, I know this motherfucker ain't about to put me on blast because you have recordings of him throwing tantrums. I'm surprised he didn't just be like, and here's her talking about hitting me.
If they was in therapy, they probably had to, you know, patient therapy, confidentiality, shit like that.
I mean, but then it was violated when she recorded him, right? I'm sorry that I didn't hit you across the face in a proper slap, but I was hitting you. It was not punching you, babe. You're not punched, Heard tells Depp, attempting to downplay her outburst the previous evening. I don't know what the motion of my actual hand was, but you're fine. I did not hurt you. I did not punch you. I was hitting you. Yes, that sounds like some gaslighting shit to me. When somebody does something physically violent to you and then no, I wasn't hitting you. I just happened to be pushing my hand against your face with force in a repetitive motion. And you took that as a punch. And I would not say it was a punch. I would say it was knuckle contact initiated by your face. It's like, no, I'll believe you hit me. I know when I'm punched in the face. She also is an ambassador for women's rights and outspoken domestic violence advocate. She taunts Johnny Depp for fleeing the late night dust up, telling him, you are such a baby, grow the fuck up, Johnny. She warns the 56-year-old Oscar nominee, you poke an animal enough, it doesn't matter how friendly it is, it's not cool. The troubling episode is one of numerous clashes the couple argue over during the informal 2-hour therapy session recorded consensually on her cell phone and supplied to the Daily Mail by a well-placed source. Johnny Depp. Yeah, they talk about like that injury on the set of where his hand was hurt or something in a filming a movie in Australia, how like she said it was because he threw a tantrum and hurt his hand. Now they're saying she might have cut him and he was trying to cover up for it at the time. So it's messy as fuck. I understand there are several more tapes out there, each promising further bombshells. Former lovers trade blood curdling allegations of domestic violence in a civil defamation case brought last year by Depp. I left last night, honestly, I swear, because I just couldn't take the idea of more physicality, more physical abuse on each other. An exasperated Depp pleads in the recording. Because had we continued it, it would have gotten fucking bad. And baby, I told you this once, I'm scared to death. We are a fucking crime scene right now. So maybe it's a toxic relationship where they fucking did shit to each other. She also said she warned him, I can't promise you I won't get physical again. God, I fucking sometimes get so mad I lose it. Depp had filed his $50 million defamation suit in Virginia after her penned an op-ed for the Washington Post detailing her experiences as an alleged domestic violence victim. Oh my God. So I could see, like, that would definitely, if I was sitting on something like this thinking the great good was being served, and then you wrote an op-ed on some like, speaking of which, this nigga ain't shit and that's why I became such a great person, I probably would at some point say something. It's hard to be the bigger person.
That's a lot. Sound like they was at each other.
Yeah. I became a public figure representing domestic abuse and I felt the full force of our culture's wrath for women who speak out, she wrote in December 2018 article, which didn't mention the positive Caribbean actor by name. Depp claimed nonetheless that it implicated him as the abuser, damaging his reputation and causing him to lose his prize role of Captain Jack Sparrow. His suit says he's the victim of an elaborate hoax instigated by Heard to generate positive publicity and advance her career. Miss Heard is not a victim or of domestic abuse. She is a perpetrator, it claims. That's lawyer talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I'm be real. I don't know the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That sound like a hot mess.
Yep. I don't know who telling the truth and who not. I mean, if them audio tapes are to be believed, it sound like they hit each other and shit.
Correct.
In which case, like, both of you niggas go to timeout? What the fuck? I don't know anything about that. Like,
mm-mm.
Yeah, it had Justice for Johnny Depp trending on Twitter. So like, you know, a lot of people, cause I think a lot of people have wanted to have his back already just cause it's a man and all that shit, you know.
Right.
He's a famous man and people love his work, so I guess that's what happened, but yikes. But that's one of the reasons I'm like, look, believe women should not be some shit you just say. And they're just carte blanche. Well, don't check anything. They said it. That's the end. Nah, believe women just mean to fucking verify that shit the same way you would a man.
Agreed.
That's it. Like anything beyond that, I don't really fuck with. Cause it's like, if you just say that shit, then it's like, I don't know. Some motherfuckers are gonna take advantage of that. Just like all black people ain't good. All women ain't good. All gay people ain't good. All trans people ain't good. All immigrants aren't good. Not everybody of every group is not good because we're human. Some people are going to take advantage of shit and you can't just be out here like a sucker being like, well, we got to believe. Hey, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It's really one of the reasons I stopped covering all these allegations on the show because I was like, to be frank, let somebody investigate and then we'll talk about it.
Right, after most shit come out.
Yeah, maybe a trial, some evidence will come out, cause it's just, when you just talk about just the allegations, it makes it seem like, well, it gotta be true. And then two, is, you know, like, it doesn't really normally give both people a side in the argument. So, I really was like, you know, that was something I thought about a lot, like 2 years ago, and was like, yeah, I gotta stop doing that. You know, cause what am I really promoting at that point? You know? And you find out later when a third party, like, investigates, I can't take back the way I felt when I first heard these allegations. And that's the whole point of the allegations in the first place. So, you know, cause I definitely was like, yeah, Johnny Depp sounded like he did that shit. And then here's like some other taste of like, well, now she sounded like she did that shit. I don't know.
Don't know. And I'm all right with saying I don't know.
Peppa Pig voice actor Harley Berg quits after 13 years.
Oh no.
Yeah. Holly Bird, the teenage voice actor behind the cartoon character Peppa Pig, has stepped down after 13 years in a row. The 18-year-old Bird, so she started at 5. Wow. She has voiced 185 episodes of the program and won a BAFTA in 2011. She said that her time on the hugely successful children's series has been the start of an incredible journey, adding that her colleagues had given her unforgettable memories. Damn, so no more Peppa Pig albums?
No more bops?
The teenager from Rochdale, Greater Manchester, was the third person to voice the TV's most famous anthropomorphic pig, following Lily Snowden, Fine, and Cicely Bloom. She will be succeeded by 9-year-old Amelia, Amelie B. Smith, whose agent said she had been a huge fan of the show since she was little. Nigga, she's still little. She 9.
Right, she 9!
And that it was a dream come true. So while J.L. Covan is shaking his head, I just had to wait so long for my dream to finally come true, but now that I've had so many years in the industry, I'm 9 years old, and at this ripe old age, this old bird can still sing.
Ripe old age of 9.
I believe I got quite a few tunes left in me. I can't wait. it almost passed me by. That's how much faster the industry is on women.
Apparently so.
It's like that great scene in, oh damn, you didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, did you?
Mm-mm.
Fuck. Anyway, it's a great scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where Leonardo DiCaprio tells this little girl that she gonna know what it feels like when she get older, because he talks about being a has-been. Then he's like, actually, you won't, because ain't no 40-year-old women has-beens in Hollywood. It was such a good scene, man. Tarantino, you did your thing, bro. Don't listen to these Negroes. Neville Astley and Mark Baker, the British animators behind the show, said they were delighted that Smith was joining the team, as well as citing the strong legacy of previous Peppa voice actors, including Bird, whom they described as a key part of the success of Peppa Pig. Bird reportedly earned £1,000 an hour for her role and also recorded songs for the Peppa Pig album, which became a viral hit after its release last July.
Come on through.
I listened to it.
It was a bop.
It had plenty of bops on there. But yeah, so what else is white people doing? Oh, Taylor Swift responds after comedian Nikki Glaser apologizes for body shaming her. While watching Taylor Swift's new documentary, Miss Americana, which I am gonna watch,
I haven't seen it,
has sent Swifties into a spiral over whether or not Taylor is engaged to Joe Alwyn. See her wearing a giant diamond ring during one of the scenes. Comedian Nikki Glaser had a totally different reaction to the film. Nikki said she was horrified after watching the doc and realized that included a clip of her being critical about Taylor's weight and friend group. But instead of simply waiting out the drama, Nikki decided to publicly apologize to Taylor with a very lengthy Instagram post, writing, "Unfortunately, I'm featured in her new documentary as part of a montage of asshats saying mean things about her, which is used to explain why she felt the need to escape from the spotlight for a year. It's insanely ironic because anyone who knows me knows I'm obnoxiously obsessed with her and her music. I first heard
people do that bullshit.
Well, it's that hate love thing people do with celebrities. They think these celebrities aren't human and it doesn't get back to them.
Right.
And you can look at any of their comments on social media and shit. It's just a bunch of fucking like jealousy and hate and meanness, because it's like these immortal avatars that we all get to be mean to, and they're never supposed to die, they never get old, they don't have feelings, they're rich, they, you know, it's that thing you brought up that I think is so brilliant. And I'll keep saying it, but that whole thing about social media turns us all into these narcissists that we abuse these people, and then part of the biggest thing that narcissists do is they convince you that the target has no feelings. And so once they do that, you have the flying monkeys, and that's what people are on social media. They're the flying monkeys who go, Taylor Swift has no feelings. I can call this woman whatever I want. I can talk about her body. Things I claim to stand up for.
Right.
These are things, you know, I don't body shame people. Then you don't like somebody, else and they're a fat piece of shit, right? So what do you really stand for? No, you don't stand for those things. You stand for, if you can only have these principles when you like a person, then you don't really have those principles.
Mm-mm.
You know? I first heard myself in the trailer last week as I watched it alone in bed as soon as it came out, because I was so excited. People are fucking crazy,
right? You put it on a public ass platform, and she was like, yes, I'm gonna take this shit and I'm gonna put it in my documentary.
Yeah, not just that, you put it on Nikki Glaser is a famous comedian. The odds of it getting back to Taylor Swift is pretty high. And I was horrified to hear my own voice. The soundbite was from an interview I did 5 years ago, and I say it in such a shitty tone. She's too skinny. It bothers me. All of her model friends. It's just like, come on.
But you said it, dog.
I really have no need to post this other than apologize to someone who seriously means so much to me. I only got a couple death threats from diehard Swift fans, which is, as one myself, I totally get it. Yeah, even if you got death threats, I mean, I'm gonna be real with y'all. It's from Taylor Swift fans. They not finna do shit. Like, I hate to belittle death threats. I'm not saying she didn't get them, but they're Taylor Swift fans. It's like, if I had to pick a core group of people to death threat me, they're up there on the list of like, okay, cool.
I think I'm safe.
Yeah, it's like when Bernie Sanders fans was threatening me, I'm like, okay, Kyle. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, Tyler.
All right. I'm sure.
All right, Kent.
Yeah. You're gonna kill me for Medicare for all. Okay, buddy. Got it. Sorry a black podcaster wasn't totally sucking this dude's dick, but yeah, I guess I need to die now.
I guess I get it, Trevor.
Yeah. Soon as you get student loan forgiveness, you can go and buy an AK-47, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so while I'll consider going to die in a hole, you motherfucking asshole, I just hope this somehow gets to her so she knows I'm sorry for any pain I caused her and that I'd love to be her friend someday when I start modeling and tell her how much her music has influenced my life in comedy. And Taylor actually replied, wow, I appreciate this so much, and it's one of the major things of the doc is that we had the ability to change our opinions over time, to grow, to learn about ourselves. I'm so sorry to hear that you struggle with some of the same things I've struggled with. Sending a massive hug. Oh man, being white is so good.
Mm-hmm.
You see how they was able to just forgive and move on like that? You'll never see that from black people, man. We haven't been through too much. Like, that white privilege is just so, it's like, oh, why not let it go? It's not even the biggest problem in my day.
Not the biggest problem.
So where Gabrielle Union still ain't responding to Terry Crews, and I get it. You know what I mean? Totally get it. But yeah, white people just able to have these nice moments. So nice. Meghan Markle's first post-Megxit job will be a Canadian reality TV show. Shaquille the Bag, Duchess. It's a show called I Do Redo, which is about couples planning a second wedding after disaster ruins their first ceremony. What? On the nose a bit. Jesus. She'll make multiple appearances on the upcoming Canadian. Damn, I know the royals don't like this. Well, she gonna be on the next show that I hate my in-laws reality show.
Come on.
Damn, that is so.
I used to be a princess in a racist ass needy right. Country with the media turning on me.
She's going on the racist in-laws show starting next fall.
She's gonna be starring in the racist paparazzi.
Mm-hmm. Fuck these crackers, season 2. She'll be on it. Netflix extends its partnership with Adam Sandler to produce 4 more films. And y'all mad at Tyler Perry.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm.
I bet Tyler Perry rubbed his hands. I'm gonna break the record again.
It's good to see white people doing their thing. Princess Beatrice's wedding may be delayed again amid royal scandals. When Princess Beatrice announced her engagement to Eduardo Mapelli Mosey in September last year, fans were thrilled at the prospect of another royal wedding so soon. Yet more than 4 months later, the couple still don't seem to have set a date, and there have been very few details about wedding plans. Now there are concerns the princess's wedding has been delayed amid 2 ongoing royal scandals, both breaking while Beatrice was trying to plan her own wedding. Yep, you got the Megxit, and then you got Prince Andrew kicking it with Jeffrey Epstein. So it done fucked up everything. Prince Beatrice just over here trying to get married, and it's all fucked up. Poor Prince Beatrice. Princess Beatrice. Former Belgian King Albert II admits he fathered a love child over 50 years ago. Let me tell you something. Over 50 years ago?
That's a grown-ass man.
That's not a love child. That's a lust child.
That's an adult.
That's a lust adult. That's a lust almost senior citizen.
Come on.
50 years ago, after spending decades denying the scandal, he finally admitted it. The stunning about-face by the 85-year-old ex-monarch comes after a DNA test proved he is a biological father of Delphine Boel. She just took a DNA test. Turns out she's 100% that princess. His lawyer said he decided to put an end with honor and dignity to his painful procedure.
Yeah, because he knew about to die.
Boyle, a 51-year-old Belgian artist, claims Albert was her real dad for 2 decades before turning the courts over his paternity. She has maintained her aristocratic mother, Sybil de Celis Longchamps, had an affair with Albert between 1966 and 1984. And they say black people don't claim their babies. So, I mean, this is white royalty. The former royal agreed in May to take a DNA test after Brussels court slapped him with a fine of 5,000 euros or 5,500 pounds for each day he refused.
Well, that's right. We're going to fine you for every day. Let's get this shit over with.
$5,500, I meant. Boyle was raised by her mother's husband, Jacques Boyle, and had won a court decision that he was not her legal father. Albert had in the past acknowledged marital problems with his wife, Queen Paola, in the 1970s, but never admitted to having an extramarital affair. He has 3 children with Paola, including Belgium's current king, Philippe. Asked whether his client was enticed by a royal inheritance, Boyle's lawyer, Mark, I can't pronounce that, told RTL television that she is a legitimate child just like any other. He said Boyle waged her paternity battle to avoid her children carrying this weight. She had a biological father who brutally rejected her when his paternity publicly emerged. He also slammed the former king's statement owning up to fathering Boyle, saying it's characterized by a lack of elegance and lack of humanity. The statement continues to confirm this lack of love. Albert took over the throne following the death of his older brother, King Baldwin, in 1993. He was king for 20 years until he abdicated and lost immunity in 2013. Damn, take care of your kids. These white fathers, I tell you, man, that's the problem in the white community.
That's the problem with the daddies.
Well, the daddies. All right, last one. Taylor Swift finds her voice and dunks on Trump in new Netflix doc. Fuck that. As a pivotal moment in the new Netflix documentary, Miss Americana, as it will turn out a pivotal moment in the singer's life and career, Taylor Swift's mother and her publicists are running through all the possible, perhaps catastrophic repercussions of deciding for the first time to speak out publicly about politics. Swift, who was like really 29 years old or something, Swift was about to publish an Instagram post urging Tennessee voters to vote for Democrat Phil Bredesen in the state's close midterm election, railing against incumbent Republican Marsha Blackburn and her record of voting against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, against equal pay for women, and against gay rights. These are not my Tennessee values, Swift wrote in the post. In Miss Americana, she calls Blackburn Trump in a wig. The three women are nervously slurping white wine and practically shaking as they discuss the final considerations before pressing send, the equivalent of pushing a nuclear button for a pop star who has strategically and steadfastly remained silent on politics. One of the last things Swift publicist warns her about is that Donald Trump could come after her. Fuck that, Swift says, not missing a beat. I don't care. Okay, girl. Miss Americana, which premiered to a standing ovation on Thursday night at Sundance Film Festival, will be available on Netflix January 31st. It reveals a woman who is learning not to care. Also saw with her dad, and who was like also her manager and shit, was trying to get her to be silent on shit. And it's just something I think people don't realize, man. Beyonce became more outspoken when she got her dad away from her. Cause you know, parents have a job and your parent is like, I'm trying to keep you from fucking up the money. I'm trying to keep you from branching out and all this shit. And so, your girl Tay Tay was out here like, look, same pressure. And she's younger than Beyonce. I can't wait to watch this documentary. I know you Negroes won't, but as somebody that's Team Taylor Swift, I can't wait to watch this shit. Cause honestly, y'all being way too unfair to my girl. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being quiet about it. If you want to come on over to the Rod's Team Tay Tay, it's very lonely over here, but you're welcome to come. It's just me right now. But if it's like one or two other blacks that want to come over and come out of the Taylor Swift closet.
Teams. You got that team, you got an anthill.
Well, the anthill, a lot of, says that I'm growing that anthill, but I know ain't nobody else on Team Tay Tay in the black community. And I'm saying, I'm sick of this shit. These motherfuckers have went too far on Taylor Swift. Like, y'all sound like Nikki Glaser. Always trying to find some angle to fucking hate this woman. All she trying to do is do her thing. And she growing up and becoming more outspoken, which is what people claim to want, and they still trying to find angles to hate on her. I saw what she said, she talked about how, like, as women, women have been told to apologize and stuff, and she had made this thing. She said, I'm sorry for going on a rant, getting on my soapbox. And the person that was interviewing her was like, why you say you sorry or whatever? You don't have to say you sorry. She's like, damn, you're right. Like, I've been trained to say I'm sorry. I'm trying to unwork
break that. Me too.
All this shit. And she was like, you know, it's like you're in your own house playing loud music, and you want to turn your own volume down, but you bought the house and you can play your music as loud as you want, blah, blah, blah. And I saw someone on Twitter being like, what about the black and brown people that's being killed for playing loud music? And I was like, what? The fuck? Why do y'all stretch so hard to hate this woman?
Wow.
Just say you hate her and you won't ever come off of her neck, because goddamn.
That don't make no sense.
That don't even make sense. You understood the metaphor? Come on now. Oh my God. I swear to God, these people are gonna be the death of me. All right, we gotta get out of here. It's almost time. Let's do some sword ratchetness and wrap this bad boy up. We'll do the guess the race story tomorrow.
Okay.
So we can find out about Penis Man.
I know.
I was trying to kill you. A man accused of cutting the victim with a samurai with a sword style knife at a bus stop.
Oh.
A local man in Memphis, Tennessee was arrested after police say he attacked a person with what was described as a long sword style knife. According to police report, the victim was sitting at the bus stop near Cleveland and Poplar Avenue on Monday when John Liddell approached him. Liddell reportedly pulled his knife from his pants and swung it, cutting the man's face. A witness told police that the victim was not armed during the incident, and he even tried to run away to de-escalate the situation. Officers on the scene said they heard Liddell tell the victim, I was trying to kill you. Liddell was charged with aggravated assault and unlawful possession. Guess the race, black. I couldn't believe it either.
Wow.
All right, y'all, come see us at the library Saturday.
Come see us at the library
February 8th. If you live in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, make that trip. Come to University Library. The phone number and stuff is all at the link, so you can call Alicia and she said she already got a call. She emailed me and said she already got a call, because it's a small room and I think you may have to like register or like let them know you're coming, so we don't have like too many people in that little room. But I mean, you know, first come, first serve. We'll get to see you there 2 to 4. Mm-hmm. on Saturday. Okay, so, and I seen Jane is coming in to the Tay Tay Club, so it's two blacks in the Tay Tay Club, so I appreciate you. You know, I don't know if Lakita is trying to get in too. Okay, three blacks in the Blacks for Tay Tay Club. Okay, she trying. Okay, she coming along a little. Trey is in. Trey,
you got four.
We got four blacks.
You got me. That's five.
Five. Okay, I might have to actually start listening to her albums. Okay. This is, it has gone too far. I'm not trying to protect all white women, but god damn it, the Tay Tay shit went too far. She trying, y'all. God damn. All right, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow. Till next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.